Good morning, guys. Just to get you guys kind of thinking about where, just to kind of wake you guys up, get your minds kind of working, I want to explain where this sermon or this Malitana came from. So a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago maybe, I read in 1 John chapter 5, you guys don't have to open this up, but in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. When I read this, I had the thought come to me, do I know the commandments of God? Do I really, how do I know that I love God? And I started just kind of writing down, as I was going through the New Testament, just what it says to do. So like, pray for your brethren, love them with grace and humility and all that. And I've been doing that for a while. And I had the thought, why not do it for prayer? Do I actually know how to pray as a Christian? Do I know what the Bible says about prayer? And do I know what example the Bible gives about prayer? Like, how am I supposed to pray if I can't even name a single place other than Matthew chapter 6 where it talks about praying? How am I supposed to pray? So that's the question I wanted to ask you guys, just so that you would start thinking, do I actually know what God wants from me? How God wants me to pray? So first of all, let's open up Matthew chapter 6. This is where Jesus was talking to the people. And verse 9, he says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like you to pay attention to verses 11 through 13 specifically. He prays, not give me this day. He doesn't tell us to ask, give me this day. He says, give us this day. He put in this prayer, he wanted us to pray not only for ourselves, but for others. And I started thinking about that. This thought has been in my mind for a while already. After actually my brother, he asked me, at Malitana, he actually asked everybody, when we pray, when's the last time we've actually prayed just for somebody, without using the word me or for myself or I? And that's been in my head. And here Jesus said, pray in this way, give us this day our daily bread. So I decided to go through. I went, there's an app, I searched just pray, and where it comes up in the Bible, and 80 times I found that word, where people were asking for something, or for someone. And out of the 80 times, 53 of those times, there wasn't a mention of me. 53, that's a third, or sorry, two-thirds, that's two-thirds of the time, twice the amount of time that they were spending praying for themselves. So I thought, my prayer, it's mostly about me. It's what I need. Help me. I need to grow stronger. But by a biblical prayer, 60% of the time, it should be about others. It should be about somebody else. Some examples that I found that I was looking through. Moses, when the people sinned against God, and when Aaron sinned against God, Aaron and his and Moses' sister, I forgot her name, he prayed for them. He prayed for Israel. He wasn't praying for himself. He wanted what was best for the nation. Daniel, if we open up chapter Daniel chapter 9, so we know that Daniel, he prayed every single day, three times a day, facing Jerusalem. And most likely that was for Israel. And if we open up chapter 9, verse 5. He started praying about, Israel, yeah. So, verse 5, we have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turned aside from your commandments and ordinances. And for the next, probably 10 verses, he keeps going and going about how we've sinned. And he includes himself in that. And in verse 15, he says, and now, O Lord, our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as it is this day, we have sinned and we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins, the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people, have become a reproach to all those around us. So here we see Moses, he was praying for Israel. Daniel, he was praying. Job, after his confrontation with his friends, and after God spoke to him and said, he was talking to them, to his friends, and said, let Job pray for you. Let him bring a sacrifice for your sake. If we look at Nehemiah, I didn't write that, but he was praying for those who love God and obey his commandments. So he was praying for Israel, and in our case, we would be praying for the church. One of the, Abraham as well, he prayed for Sodom. He asked God that God would have mercy on them. Instead of 50, he brought it down to 10 righteous people. But the one that stood out to me the most was actually Samuel, the prophet. If we go to 1 Samuel, chapter 12, that's 1 King, первое царство. Chapter 12, verse 23. When he was speaking, the people said to him, verse 19, then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, so that we may not die. And 23, Samuel is answering them and says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against God by ceasing to pray for you. Samuel brought it to a completely different level. He said, if I don't pray for you, that's considered a sin for me. In my heart, that is a sin. And this made me realize that I don't pray correct. I don't pray how I should. I don't ask for people. I don't pray for people the way that I should. So the next question I'd like to answer is, who should we pray about? In the Bible, over here, these examples, they all talk about praying about Israel, Jerusalem, the people of God. I'd like you to open up Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Again, Jesus says, so in verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So first of all, Jesus commands that we pray for those who persecute you. Who persecute us. In James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So pray for those who persecute you and pray for each other. Jesus, when he was walking with the cross and the women were following and weeping, he said to them, don't pray, you shouldn't be weeping for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. He says, pray for it, for yourself and your children. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So, who are we supposed to pray about? According to the Bible, those who persecute us, the church, the kings and rulers, those who have authority, and just everyone, all men. And the third thing I'd like to kind of answer, what should we pray about? When we're praying about these people, what should we pray about? There's a great, Paul gives us a great example when he was writing to Philippians. If we read Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, he says that, and this I pray, for your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. So he's praying that they would be spiritually strengthened, that they would have more love. And in Colossians, he elaborates more on what he actually prays about. Also verse 9 of chapter 1. We have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. So Paul is saying, pray for each other, to strengthen each other. Pray that you would have love. That prayer that you pray every single day about yourself, God, help me fight against this. Think about your neighbor, think about your brother, think about your sister. What are they going through? Maybe they're going through the same thing. We should be encouraging and strengthening each other through prayer, asking for God to have mercy on. And we know this is a big deal, because this is two-thirds. Again, I said this already, but this is two-thirds of the prayers in the Bible are for other people. So I'd like to encourage each of you to try and pray, but I'd also like to challenge you. Challenge you to at least once. You can do every day, not necessarily, but at least once. Try and pray a prayer, not for yourself, not for your own needs, but for those around you. Don't use the word me or mine or anything like that. Pray for the church, pray for the people, pray for all your friends, those you know, because that's what the Bible wants of us. It doesn't want us to be selfish, taking everything to ourselves, but rather helping each other out, standing as a church before God. Now we're going to have some time, 10, 15 minutes. We're going to break up into groups, and we're going to pray, about 5-6 people. So, that's what I'd like to end on. And try and pray about each other. Instead of praying about yourself, try and pray about each other. I mean...